motivation. I want to tell you a very interesting theory that they did test now. So they're saying, you know, like when you tell people, you know, you're going to be a diabetic if you don't stop eating, you're going to get cancer if you don't stop smoking, you know what I mean? Like, don't you want to have a longer life? And a lot of these people say, no, not if I can't smoke and drink and have fun.
That's
like,
true, though.
For me to live longer, just to live this, like, you know, they're not interested, okay? So you have to really be happy with something. You have to feel joy with something to really be committed to it. Do you see what I mean? So in a way, like, if we've got to understand where we're getting our happiness from. Like, what are we committing to live with that's giving us happiness? Because the downside to the smoking, drinking, party part is that it's very fleeting happiness. And it doesn't do it for you after a while. And all you need is a bigger drug and a bigger drink and more whatever, more party and more party, more party. Like, you're never really feeling filled with it, right? So it's a very interesting idea that the Torah really has a lot to tell you about when it comes to happiness. It actually commands happiness from you, which is a very funny kind of thing. Like, you know, I command you to love me. I command, like, there's a lot of emotional command that the Torah tells you. Like Hashem, like, says, you need to love Hashem, and you need to respect Hashem, and you need to fear Hashem. Like, it's as if it's commanding your emotions, right? So we have to be real with ourselves. As much as we think, oh no, I can't control my emotions, and this world really likes to tell you that. Like, you know, do it because you feel it. Like, as long as I'm happy, you know what I mean? Like, people have this thing about that they can just ride rampant with their emotions, and because of their emotions, they were unable to control themselves. And the Torah's telling you, no, you really can harness emotions. So the truth is, you could give this test to yourself, and it's really true, right? You could be having this, like, real big argument, you know, with your spouse or your friend or whatever, and the boss calls on the phone, and suddenly you're able to close it down. Mm-hmm. Like, suddenly you go, yes, sir, how are you? Like, 2 seconds ago, you were crying, yelling, mid-sentence, you suddenly turn it around, right? Right? Suddenly your whole demeanor, like, it's somebody else, anybody you're afraid of or you think is important, or you value this relationship and you don't want them to know that you were yelling. Like, didn't you ever notice? Like, zip, in a second, you are in control. So it's worth trying to tell you, you are wired, just as much as you are wired to have that side of you that just wants to run like a wild horse, you have that incredible side of you that can harness that horse.
According to my PR voice.
Your PR voice?
No.
Oh, really?
It's like public relations.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Like, where you suddenly, you know, you flip it and, you know, you're in front of the right people, you start talking the right way, and during a whole different idea, right? So it's worth telling you, you have that PR voice that you really can be in control of. The point that the Torah is trying to tell you is, where is happiness coming from for you? Because if you are looking for happiness from the body, it's going to be very temporary and very fleeting, and it's not going to necessarily take you too far. Because when you won't have those bodily pleasures, you're going to be full of jealousy, and you're going to be thinking about, do you know what I mean? Like, I liked my, you know, whatever, I liked my car until my neighbor got a new one. Do you know what I mean? Like, you will be like that. I loved my ring until I saw so-and-so's ring. Right? I loved my, that's, I always say that. That's the whole idea of, like, when the gorgeous woman walks in, we all turn around going, I wish I could kill her. You know, like, what is it that we want to kill her? Why do we want to harm her? The poor thing just walked in, looked better than you. But why do we want to do that? Because, like, the whole ego self, right? Right? So if you're going to look for happiness through the ego, I'm going to tell you right now, the Torah will tell you, you will never be happy. I'm just going to tell you right now. And the Torah will tell you, if you have 100, you will want 200. And if you have 200, the Torah tells you, you will want 300. So if you're looking for happiness from a body perspective, you're never ever going to be satisfied. And not only will you not be satisfied, the world will never let you be satisfied, because the world needs to get your money. If you ever were really happy with the color of your hair, where would all those boxes of hair dye go? If we were ever really satisfied, we wouldn't have to have new cars and new kitchens and new thises and new that, right? Because the world is playing on this body need of yours to keep looking good like everybody else, and be in the crowd and be in this and be in that. So Torah's telling you, let's get real with your happiness. Your real, authentic happiness comes from your authentic self. That authentic self is the soul. And when the soul understands its mission in this world and does what is right and what is responsible, that's when it really feels happy. Okay, so that's what the Torah is trying to bring across to you. So we need to really like investigate what that means, because it's tough. So the Torah says, Mi shenichnas Adar mar bin besimcha. So whoever comes into this month, which is called Adar, should raise their joy. And then it says, Mi shenichnas Av, whoever goes into the month of Av, right? What happens in Av? Anybody know? What happens in that month of Av? Yeah, the temples were destroyed. The Spanish Inquisition was on Av. The beginning of World War I, which really was the catalyst to World War II, was on Av. Like, so the most disgusting, terrible things that happened to the Jewish people happened in that month. So then God says, when you enter that month, turn down the dial of happiness. So what does that mean about the rest of the 10 months of the year? So one month of the year, like when Purim happens, God says, turn up the dial. And then one month of the year, God says, turn down the dial of happiness. So what's all the other 10 months?
Normal
what? Happiness.
Contentment.
The Torah is telling you, you're good. You're good to go. Okay, so now that sounds kind of weird, because I'm good to go. 10 months out of the year, so many crazy things happen that would not make me very good to go. Right? This one gets sick, and this one has a tragedy, and that one has a tragedy, and my car breaks down, and my kids make me nuts, and I lose my this, and I lose my that, and I, right? And I got a new wrinkle, and I got a new pimple, and I got a new, you know, whatever it is that we got. Right? And yet the Torah is telling you, no. It's all good. It's all good. And we can all be happy. And the Torah tells you, you can be happy every day, even with all the craziness that's going on. So would that be a gift, yes or no?
Yeah, sure.
Huge. What's the huge gift of happiness?
Being happy with what you have. Not
yeah, but what's the huge gift of it? Like,
you're
what's
settled.
You're settled. You have meaning. You just feel good. When you feel good, you can accomplish. When people are depressed and frustrated and anxious, that's when they can't move, right? And we, as Jews, were created to... So you can reach your potential when you're happy. That's why God wants you to be happy. Okay? That's why he wants you happy. And that's why he says you're wired to be happy. You're wired to be happy. So next time, like if you, God forbid, have a clinical issue, then you have a clinical issue and you have to appreciate that. And even then, you'll go to a doctor and hopefully they can balance out some of this, you know, serotonin problem that you have, and hopefully you can work with it. But I'm saying for the average person who does not have a serotonin problem, God is saying, trust me, I'm going to tell you now, you can be happy. We kind of live in a world that feels like it's supposed to kvetch. For some reason, I don't know why, we almost feel like it's a mitzvah to kvetch. And when I say you have to be happy, doesn't it make you go a little bit? Like, it makes me jump for a second, like, I have to be happy? How do I do that? You know? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a part of me like, that takes energy. I don't want to be happy. It's so much easier to kvetch. So that's what the Torah tells you. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. Ivdu means serve, which means avoda, which means work. So the Torah is telling you, so up front, that's very important. So up front, very important. If you want to conquer an enemy, you have to know the enemy. So know right now, up front, life is going to make you, or not life, this the Yetzirah, there's going to be a body part of you that's always going to be going, you're not happy. You'd be happy if you were in Florida. You're not happy. You'd be happy if you were taller. You'd be much happier if you lost 25 pounds. You'd be happier if your husband would stop saying this. You'd be happy if you found your shidduch. You'd be happy if you had more money. You'd be happy if, and you'd be happy if you'd be happy. So know right now that there's that voice that does that. You'd be much happier if you looked like so-and-so. You'd be much happier if you had her husband. You'd be much happier if you had her clothes. Do you see what I mean? So up front, the Torah is telling you, you're going to have that voice. And then up front, the Torah is telling you, you have the voice, you have the knowledge, you have the Torah, you have the soul to be able to work through this. and really be authentically happy. Okay, so number one, we know now that what? It's a job. It's a job. It's going to take effort. So that's really big because you've been sold a different story. What's the story that you've been sold? Out there is a prince and you lost a shoe and he finds the shoe that fits your foot. And then you become a princess and you live happily ever after. And the movie ends with the end.
Okay. Oh my God.
And that's it. And then it tells you you're going to go to a barbecue. And you know, like you didn't even know anybody, but somebody opens a can of Coke and suddenly everybody's friends and everybody's smiling and everybody's size too, even though they're drinking a can of Coke, which is at least 500 calories. But everybody seems to be gorgeous and they all have boyfriends and money and good looks, and it was all by opening a simple can of Coke. And then what? You go to the store and you buy a can of Coke. You get home and you make a barbecue and you open up the can of Coke and nobody lost 3,000 pounds. You're wearing those gorgeous clothes. There isn't a boyfriend coming down the street. I don't get it. And it makes me very unhappy. So I try a different flavor of Coke and you open up the can and the same thing keeps on happening. Okay? So we have to know this. So right away, happy in this world means happening. Something is happening that causes me to be happy. The Torah tells you that's not the case. It's your authentic understanding of life and what life really means and why I'm really here that's going to make you very happy. I'm being honest. That's what Hashem is saying. So he says, mitzvah Gedola Leos Besimcha. So Hashem's going to tell you right now, great mitzvah to be happy. So what does mitzvah mean? What did we say? Not answering. You have to answer or everybody goes home. Okay, now what does it mean? What does mitzvah mean?
A good deed.
A good deed, much more.
Yeah. It's command.
A commandment more. Oh my gosh, you guys are going to be punished. Okay. Yeah. Line up. Okay. No, really.
Was it a connection?
Yes. What? Connection.
Yeah, we forgot.
Always memorize. I want you to memorize. I'm not joking. Certain things we have got to hashgafically know. You've got to know. Because it changes the way you talk to yourself. Okay? So it means a connection or a tool. It means a connection or a tool. So what? Who do you connect to when you're happy? You connect to God because you're grateful for life. Who else do you connect to when you're happy? Yourself. Because when you're unhappy and you're down, you don't like yourself either. Okay? And who else? People who walk around with a smile, who do they connect to? Everybody around them. Like, do you ever smile at people and you suddenly go, the people go, like they smile back.
Yeah.
You know, they do. You could be in the bank, you're with total strangers. You walk in the mall and you throw a smile, you just get someone to go, like, wow, someone smiled. So this is it, mitzvah gedola. This is a great mitzvah, says the Torah, for you to be able to connect to your authentic self. So we have to promise. This is our job. So God's trying to tell you, your job is to be happy. That's your job. So we need to understand very strongly what happiness means. Do you know what I mean? Because happiness does not mean comfortable. Okay? Right? So we have this like skewed view. And then even when people are very comfortable, they get very bored. Do you know that? Like, you can't sit on a beach forever and ever with a pina colada. After a while, you don't feel good about yourself. So what's true happiness? When you are engaged in a meaningful pursuit. That's really the truth. That's when you feel the best. When you're engaged in a meaningful pursuit, then the byproduct of that pursuit is happiness. But happiness is not a goal in and of itself. So in other words, Torah is telling you, you have an authentic self. You've got this soul. It came here with a purpose. When you actualize the purpose of that soul, right, That's when you just naturally feel happy, right? That's when you naturally feel good. Like, who feels good when they're helping someone else? No. The Torah tells you, every psychologist in the book will tell you, when a person is really down, there was like a whole story of this woman, I think it was with the flower, with violets. Is that the flower? It's like a purple flower. Mm-hmm. So this woman was extremely, extremely depressed. So the psychologist said to her, you've got to get out of yourself. If you would only do something for other people, you will see things will change. And she started to give people these plants. Like, this was her gift, and she started giving people plants, and then she ended up giving hundreds, and people gave people, and it became this whole organization, and now the world is a beautiful place with her beautiful plants. And she felt like $1 million. It changed her whole reality. So Hashem is trying to tell you, you need to give yourself the greatest gift. That great gift that you can give yourself is happiness. So this world likes to kvetch. We have to move out of it. Good for them. Everybody wants to tell you how miserable they are, so you're going to say how unhappy you are.
But sometimes, you know, you get a little lost along the way.
Yes, 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 which is fine, which is all fine. We're gonna cover all the getting lost and everything else. Okay, so which is all fine, okay? So now, so this happiness that I'm trying to give you is like more of what you said, a contentment in the fact that you know you have purpose, that you were put on this planet for a reason, that your challenges are not a joke, an accident, or happenstance, that every challenge that you get, remember when we learned the lap note? Who remembers that we learned lap note? You weren't here, but does anyone else remember? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, so we're gonna try to go over it. So lap note, I want everyone to memorize this too. So just as much mitzvah equals connection, I'm really gonna write a little quiz. I'm not joking. No, because you really need to know these things. Do you know what I mean? They want to understand. Okay, so this is what we believe. There's 7 principles of faith. Were you here that day? Who was here for lap note? Raise your hand.
I wasn't.
You weren't. You weren't, you were. Okay, so let me explain this to you. This is really important, okay? This is what I'm saying. You have an authentic soul. This soul has to understand these principles because then you will be happy no matter where you are and what you are. What? Okay? So what is it? The 7 principles of faith. All right? These are the 7 principles of faith. You got wiped, swiped, you got a challenge, then you're going to look in your lap and God sent you a note. Lap note. Okay? These are the 7 principles. It's an acronym. So L stands for, who was here has to know the answer. Yes. Yes, Latin.
Hashem loves
you. Okay, good. Hashem loves you. L stands for love. He loves you more than anyone else on the planet because he knows you more than anyone else on the planet. The more you know someone, the more you love them. Not easy because he says, you may not know you, but I know you, and I'm about to give you an incredible challenge that isn't very much fun for you, but I'm the personal trainer, and I know what your soul needs, and I know the correction that this world needs. And I know the positive energy that you can bring into this world under all circumstances. Right? And sometimes I am doing something to you that you think is the most terrible thing in the world, but could really be for your benefit. So sometimes you lose the job and you lose this and you lose that, and it turns around being the best thing. Right? Or sometimes something so much more was supposed to happen to you. So much more that you didn't appreciate, you don't know, but the bigger picture was so much worse. And I, Baruch Hashem, really saved it, right? And it's hard, and I'm not going to swallow this pill that easy either. It's very easy for me to dish out. Like they always say in Yiddish, amakah bayenem is git. Very easy when your friends are in service to go, oh, it's not really that bad, until it happens to you. Then it's like, oh my God, right? So it's very easy for me to say these things, but I'm a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. So number one, I don't care. Even if you don't believe it, say you do believe it. That's all. That's all. Act as if, says the Torah, and it will come to you. So start with the little things. Things that frustrate me, the first time anything goes nuts, the first words I try to get out of my mouth is, God loves me. You know, I trip, I fall, I whatever, I stub my toe, you know, like my the einiklach making me crazy. This one has a nice smelly diaper. I'm like, I don't want to do this without gloves. I'm like in a different zone. Like, where's the plastic gloves? Do you know what I mean? Whatever it is, right? So God loves me. L. Okay, what's A? Anybody remember? It's worth telling this. Okay, anybody remember? You're young, you don't have a choice. These girls are all like stupid. awareness. Very important. Okay? This helps you with your simcha. Awareness. God is aware of what's going on in my life. He's very aware. He's aware of the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's aware of all of it. You know how come he's so aware? He put me there, okay? And if he didn't put me there and I made some stupid mistakes, he allowed me to be where I am. So God is very aware. So now if he's so aware and I'm not in a good place, then what can make me so happy that I can ask to be in a different place? But we need to appreciate that. You need to appreciate that. If a judge puts you in jail, right? It's tough noogies. But when God does anything to you, it's never tough noogies. You have a 24/7 hotline to speak to him and to ask him for his help and to ask him to reverse this reality for you. I don't know if we appreciate that. Just think about that. People who are sentenced to get a good whammy, they have no recourse. They sit in prison for 25 years. You have a recourse. You have to be happy. You know, Hashem, you are totally aware that I am in this hole, right? So now I can ask you, please help me, right? And if you love me, hopefully you're going to help me. And if you love me, maybe not helping me is even helping me. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Okay. Yes, everybody's getting this? Love. Okay, ask, what's the next letter? P. Power. Okay, so only God has the power. So no matter what situation you are in, God can always has the power to help you. Whether you're sick, whether you need to find somebody, whether you're missing something, God is there to help you. Okay? L-A-P, what's the next letter? N. No, remember any of it? No other power. So even though you have a mitzvah, we all have a mitzvah in this room, that if we are sick, to try to get a very good doctor to help us, okay? If we need a shidduch, we have a mitzvah to go on to Saw You at Sinai and to go to J-Date, and we have a mitzvah to make the effort. But then we have to realize that unless God blesses that effort, it doesn't matter who I asked or who I spoke to, it's not where the power of the bottom line lies, okay? And when you do that, and you let go and let God, you see miracles. So I had in our shul, this guy was trying to get, I tell you this story? I don't know if I told this story. This guy in our shul, just recently happened actually, was trying to get a get. Everybody thinks that it's the man who has to get the get, which is true. But if the woman doesn't accept the get, it's also not valid.
Wow.
So a man can be held ransom. You don't realize, this guy was being held ransom, and he really wanted to get on with his life. And it was really painful for him. It was a really big process. He met this really wonderful girl in our shul. So he really wanted to help this guy get his get. So we really said, you got to call this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And then we said, you got to get this amazing lawyer. This lawyer cost $10,000. It wasn't a cheap thing. And this guy's I don't know, it's just never happening. No, you have to do it. So then she comes to me, the girlfriend, that's really nice lady, and she says to me, we've done everything, and we're just so fed up, and what's going to be? I said, you know what's going to be now? Let go. You tell God the truth. I did my very best. Now it's your turn. So they did. And next week, he got his gift.
Mm-hmm.
The true story. Next week. They couldn't believe it. They called them. Sometimes mm-hmm. that's what we have to do. And if you're a person with simcha, it's a good thing to do. It actually makes you very happy. Because I don't want to be in control and control and control and control. Because I know I'm not smart enough. And I don't know enough, and I don't know the big picture. So it's a very good feeling to be able to say, you know what, God, I tried my best, I have a mitzvah of hishtadlus, whatever hishtadlus means, do you know what I mean? I did what I had to do, and now it's time for me to let go. Okay? Okay, so that's the idea, but there's no other power, because there is no other power, all right? So, only for the good. So only for the good does not mean only for the comfortable, okay? It means only for the good, okay? So antibiotics are good for you, exercise is good for you, and it's not fun.
Okay. Even though I'm a trainer.
Okay.
It's not something you want to do. What does it take? Effort. Believe me, sitting on this couch and eating lots of chips feels so much quicker and so much easier and a lot better. But then when you get up, you are sick, okay? The same thing. Eating healthy takes a lot of effort. You have to cut and chop and this and that. Going to McDonald's for $1.25 and eating all the junk is like instant gratification. But it's not good for you. Do you see what's going on here? So it's very important for us to appreciate this. Okay, so O is only for the good. Sometimes the good is very revealed. Like, yes! You know, a baby and a bris and a wedding, woohoo! Right? It's so amazing! But sometimes the good doesn't seem so revealed. All right? But we are besimcha, because we know it's part of the training process. Right? And it's good for the soul. It's not easy. I'm not, and the Torah that even tells you what I like about the Torah, it doesn't lie. Okay, Torah never says it's going to be a rose garden. The Torah says you're very lucky because you have an understanding of why it's like this. Okay, so what's the next one? T, track record. So stop and think about the track record. God's done a lot of good stuff for you, probably more than anyone else in your life. If you're breathing and you're sitting in this room, he's done a lot. Okay, do you know what I'm saying? He's really done a lot. So look at the track record. And say in your mind how many times he did get you out of jams. Did he get you out of every single jam in your life? No, he didn't get you out of every single jam in your life. Because some of them are not meant to be getting out of. But majority, Baruch Hashem. Right? So the track record is really good. E is the most important one of them all. You don't have to earn it. He loves you for who you are. Like I said last week, whenever you look at a baby, right, if you really think about it, it doesn't make any sense that we like them. Okay? They're very big troublemakers. They never ask us permission for anything. They just cry through the whole night. They tell you they want to eat. They want to eat now. They make very smelly, yucky diapers. There's really nothing that we should be going, woohoo, these are amazing things. But you love them because they're your baby. And that's what Hashem says. I love you because you're my baby. And I don't care if you're a day old or if you're 96 years old. I still love you unconditionally, no matter what. Do you see? So this is the kind of stuff, like if we just could memorize it. You need to memorize it because I just told you before, you're going to have all these voices and all these emotions coming from your amygdala, right? That's the part of your brain that has all this emotion. And then you have to talk to it from here, from your frontal cortex, where you put your tefillin on. And if you're not going to have the information to talk back to that voice, you're going to need a therapist.
Okay.
Very badly. And as it is, we all need a therapist. So at least be your own therapist. You could save some money. Okay. At some time. Do you see what I'm saying? And really be able to get some happiness. So I was listening to Rabbi Feigenbaum once, and he said this story, it's a true story, Rabbi Feigenbaum was saying, he said that, you know, in the mail, you get these, like, flyers all the time in the mail. So he got this flyer, and he was, like, so excited, because for once he was thinking, oh, they're not going to talk about, like, how happiness is materialism, right? So he looks at it, and it has, like, this mansion on the cover, and it says, this does not make you happy, okay? So then people, you turn the page, this gorgeous, luxurious car, this does not make you happy. And then you turn the page, and it's a beautiful necklace with diamonds. This does not make you happy. So he's so excited, saying, okay, fine, they're going to tell you what makes you happy. So he turns the page, and it says, this makes you happy. It was like a $25,000 watch. It was incredible. All right? So we got to realize that that is not even the watch, is going to make you happy. So what will make you happy?
You know that, and I told you the story, you know Hashem's looking out for you. I was working the other day, and I was in the emergency department, and I was crazy busy, and all I wanted was a coffee. I just was so thirsty, and I only drink black coffee. And a patient's sister came along, and she came to me, and she said, I bought an extra coffee,
it's
black. Would you like it?
Yeah.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, see?
I don't know this coffee.
Okay, so this is beautiful. It's like totally out of nowhere.
I've never seen it before.
So this is what I want to tell you. So hold on to the moment. Everybody hold on to those moments. Everybody in your mind, okay, hold on to a moment like that. And now let me explain to you what the Torah tells you. When it says to him, here's the definition of happiness. Ezehu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. Who is Ashir means rich. So they don't mean rich necessarily money-wise. Because if they were talking about money-wise, it would not say the person who's satisfied with their lot. Okay. If you want to make it rich, you are not the kind of person who goes, this is fine, okay, because you aren't going to work towards it. So they're not talking about rich as in wealth. They're saying who has a rich life as in quality. Do you see what I'm saying? Not quantity. Who has a rich life? You know, like when you have a rich cup of coffee, it has a more flavor, it's more than meets the eye. So who has a rich life, a life that's full, a moment that's full? Who has sameach b'chelko? What does that mean? Who's happy with his lot. It doesn't mean happy, I have a bungalow and she has a mansion, I'm still happy. You know what I mean? You know, he gets to fly in business class, I'm in economy, I'm still happy. No, it doesn't mean that. Hasameach b'chelko, who's happy with his portion. What portion? The portion of God inside of each and every one of us. That we are happy in our lives because we have a portion with Hashem. We have a connection with God. We have a Torah that guides us in life. We have beautiful mitzvahs that we can do. We have moments like that that enrich your life and make you feel like God is listening and God is loving you. And you have, even like when I give over my kidney class, like I do that sometimes, I speak about giving my kidney because we're trying to get more awareness for kidney, right? So it's very interesting. Like when I have to tell over the story, like how I want to give a kidney and my husband didn't want me to. Like I'm going, yes, I'm going to do it. No, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. You know, like the richness of our lives. And I ask people, I often ask in the audience, so what do you think happened? Like, what do you think happened? So I have a rich life. Why? Because we decided, me and my husband together, said, you know what, obviously we're at a standstill, so let's ask the rabbi. And I have a rich life. Because the rabbi said, yes, I could get my kidney. No, but I'm saying I have a rich life. Because my husband thought for sure that the rabbi was going to say no. He was so shocked when the rabbi said yes, that he actually said to him, well, how about your wife? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was like, so, like, what are you talking about? Do you remember trying to say? It's a rich life. Right? Like, you got that cup of coffee, and you went, whoa. Somebody else will go, what a cute coincidence. Wouldn't be very rich life. Right? They wouldn't even think twice about it. Oh, you got another coffee? Great. Do you know what I mean? You got a rich life. You know, you've got Shabbos. You've got a way to behave. You have to stop and think about other people. That's richness. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Every moment you have is full. It's not just a moment in this world. It's a moment now and a moment for a world to come, and it's a legacy. Do you know what I'm saying? You have a rich existence because you are happy with this portion. You stand up and you say, thank you, God. I wasn't created a goy. I wasn't created a non-Jew. I'm very happy. I'm rich. They have 7 mitzvahs. I'm really happy for them, but I got 613. They're the constituents of this world. I'm very happy for them. But I am your child. I'm B'ni B'chori Yisrael. Like, we have a rich portion. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's what needs to keep you happy. Because even when things are challenging, and they will be challenging, Mesilas Yesharim tells you, you were put on this world and in this lifetime to work through the challenges. And God's going to give them to you. It's right now. We are training for the Olympics, okay? And when you are training, you ask these people what they do. It's hours and hours of grueling exercises. And they love every minute. And every grueling exercise is like, yes! You know what I mean? I worked out for 3 hours, I'm a piece of schmitz! You know what I mean? And look at these muscles, like, it's, right? And you look at them and go like, what? Don't you want to watch the favorite soap opera and eat pretzels? Like, no, I don't. This is greatness. You know what I mean? So this is the richness that we have. Like, so next time, like, something is, you know, bugging you, you go, I'm not bugged out. I'm so happy. So I'm stuck in traffic. What could be better? I have such a rich life. I can use this moment. I could once again listen to a tape. And if I could not listen to a tape, then maybe I could just talk to you, God. Maybe that's what you want from me. You want me to slow down? I'm going to slow down. I'm going to talk to you. You're aware of the fact that I'm in this car. So let me stop and say thank you. Baruch Hashem, I have a car. Baruch Hashem, I have legs. Baruch Hashem, I'm not in an accident. You know what I, do you see what I'm saying? And now everything in that moment is... So that's the richness. Instead of just sitting in the car going... and swearing, God damn it, what is it, traffic for? Do you see what I'm saying? So we are so blessed. This is what it means. Eza hu ashir. Who has a rich quality of life? Hasameach, the person who is happy, who recognizes, who is content with the fact that he has this incredible chelek. And that chelek, the Torah tells you, chelek Elokim mimala. You have a portion of God from above, and that portion is your soul. And if you would not live with your soul, then I don't blame people. If I lived only with my body, I don't blame them. Why would I want a better quality of life? I remember watching a show once. I had a show in England, because in England, once McDonald's and all these, and Kentucky Fried Chicken and all these like franchises moved into England, then what happened to the obesity rate? Skyrocketed. Okay, so now England and America are probably like the two fattest countries in the world. And the obesity rate is really serious. Like the next generation of people, of children, are going to live shorter lifespans than their parents. Because the obesity rate in children is so high. Is this what they eat? We don't get it. Like in a public school, this is the food you're eating at lunchtime all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like our kids, you're sending them lunch in the parochial school, who has money to, do you know what I mean? But these places have these huge cafeterias and the person lines up and it's the junk that they're eating all day. And even when people look thin, if they have a lot of visceral, thank you, fat, it's like the fat that you don't see it like on the outside, but it's fat all around the internal organs. It's a very dangerous fat, even if you're thin. Okay, and all this kind of junk food gives you that kind of reality. So I was watching this show, and I'm not kidding. So they match up the heaviest person in England. Like let's say there's a person gets on the show, they match them up. Like let's say an English woman who weighs 400 pounds, they match her up to take a visit to the United States to meet someone who weighs 600 pounds. Why? Because the 400-pound person has to know, if they don't get this under control, where are they going to be, the next 600-pound person? Okay, so these people are so big that when they have to bury them, they need a plot and a half. And they have to have special-sized coffins. Like, I'm not joking. I wish I was kidding. And when they have to call, like, 911, they have to have special, like, two people have to come because these people are so heavy. Like imagine like two little guys coming and trying to put a 600-pound person who is like, you know, when you're, you know, can't carry your own weight, you're even heavier. So they have to have like special equipment to get these people into an ambulance, all right? So they're interviewing this lady and they're trying to get the 600-pound American woman to take this seriously, all right? And she has to have like, she can't even breathe, you know what I mean? Like she's so heavy, she has to have special oxygen. Right? So the whole house was, every cupboard was like Coke, 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 and Twinkies. And like Coke, 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 and Twinkies. Every single cupboard. Okay? So this doctor comes in and he says, you know, we've got to get rid of the Coke, we've got to get rid of the Twinkies. And she said to him, and she meant it, because if you're living with no meaning in your life, she said, I would rather die with a cupcake in my hand than have to do the work. Like, it's not worth it, she said. This is my only pleasure in life, is Twinkies. So as I'm trying to say, we're so lucky. We are so blessed. I don't have to go out there to Tibet to find meaning. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I'm being honest. Shem gave us the most meaningful life. So if you look, like the strongest structure in the world is a triangle. It's interesting because a Mug and David, right, is this and this. So the strongest structure in the world is a triangle. The greatest triangle on earth is these three parts: Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah. If you take one of these out of the triangle, you can't stand anymore. Hashem without a Torah and only the Jewish people, we would have no way to connect. Here would be Hashem, here would be the Jewish people, we wouldn't know how to meet, right? Hashem with a Torah, what does he need a Torah for? He already knows the Torah. Okay, so he doesn't have the Jewish people, there's nothing. Do you see what I mean? And a Torah without one of these parts is nothing. Like, you can just take the triangle and play with it in your own mind. So we're so blessed. When you think about you have a chelik, that's the chelik you could say. I have a part in the Jewish people, I have a part in God, I have a part in the Torah. They say every one of us is a letter in the Torah. We have a very meaningful life. And guess what? God needs us. He does. The world needs us to be complete. And if you opt out, then he's got to find someone else to take on your job. That's why they say busy people keep busy, because they have to take on all the jobs of all the people who don't want to do the job. Okay? So just something I think, like, I don't know, to me this was like a real game changer, because I always thought of this the other way. I always thought of this as, you know what, like, okay, it means I'm just supposed to be happy with what I have. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't be, what's the big word? The big green monster word? Jealous. Jealousy is a huge negative trait that we all have within ourselves. Okay, we do a lot of comparing. How do we know it's a biggie? Because when you look at the Ten Commandments, you know when you write an essay, the first statement is the biggest deal. Like, who remembers writing essays and always getting into trouble with this song? Right? You wrote all these essays. The very first sentence is very important because it states what you want to do. What's the last sentence? Yes, that conclusive paragraph that has to sum everything up, right? And in the middle is the essay. So the Ten Commandments is the perfect essay and the perfect lesson to life, all right? The bottom last commandment is, anybody know what it is? Yes, don't be jealous. Why is that the conclusive one? Because it's jealousy that makes you steal. It's jealousy that makes you murder. It's jealousy that makes you commit adultery. It's jealousy that makes you lie. 100%. No doubt about it. So, thank you. Okay. Do you remember we used to like walk by construction sites? Waiting to hear that. Okay. So your bird must work in construction. Anyhow, so jealousy, right? Jealousy makes you do all those negative things. So the only thing that can stop jealousy, the only thing is the main statement of the entire Ten Commandments. The first commandment. What is the first commandment? I am the Lord your God. Go on. Who took you personally out of Egypt. So that means I want to have a relationship with you. I know you can get into tzuris. I can take you out, and I will do it every day. Believe in me. Right? I did this with many, many miracles. You know how everybody goes, oh, if God only showed us miracles, we would all be religious. He did. Okay? That's why you do Pesach over and over. That's why you read the Torah over and over. That's why the Judaism is the founding religions of all of the world. That's why we've survived all of history. Okay? That's why. Okay? That's why you see the state of Israel. That's why you see the Six-Day War. That's why you see the Yom Kippur War. Do you see what's going on? So really, he has. All right? So that's it. So that's what God said. You don't need to be jealous. You don't need any of those things. Because I have a personal prescription for each and every one of you. I have prescribed what you need in your life. Right? You want that prescription different? Good. So have a relationship with me. Let's talk. You know what I mean? Let's do the mitzvahs. Let's be this. Let's be that. And let's see. Maybe we could shuffle the cards. Right? You had a story like that. Your story is like that. That when your husband wasn't well and you said to Hashem, you know, let's cut a deal. Okay. And Baruch Hashem, right? And sometimes it's good, and sometimes not good. Sometimes it's, sorry, the deal can't be cut this way. But be very, very proud that you tried and that you asked. And the Mirtz Hashem, good things will come. And not one prayer is wasted. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay? So these are all very good things, significant things for you to appreciate. Because if you do not get into the right mindset, then jealousy will do what to you? It will eat you alive. Yeah. It is such a horrible thing. Even when you try to sometimes, like, I remember once getting very jealous, so-called jealous altruistically, you know? Like when you're jealous about, someone and all the mitzvahs they did, you know? And I was like always like comparing myself to this person. And then finally one day I realized, what am I doing? Like, this is not healthy, and I'm not getting any better trying to be somebody else. This is who I am. Like, suddenly I just finally was able to come to terms with, no, they have their talents, and they're very bright, and I'm not that person. Like, this is who I am, right? So it's tough. So Torah tells you, where was the first case of jealousy? It's just good to know this, because the story of Purim really shows you jealousy. Very first case of jealousy is in Gan Eden. And the snake, right, says to Chava, you know, why don't you eat from that tree? I would eat from that tree, because God, he could eat from that tree. God's got all the knowledge. In fact, if you ate from the tree, then you would be just like God. So then she started to think, right? Why can't I have what he has, right? So when they got caught, Hashem says to him, Hashem sees that they're afraid because they were naked. The only reason that they would know they were naked was if they ate from the tree. So Hashem tries to get them out of it, and he says to them, Hamin ha'etz, did you eat from this tree? So who is Hamin? Haman. How do you know Haman was jealous? His whole downfall came from jealousy. Because what happened? He is like the number one big macher in the story of Purim, right? He is the richest man in the world at that time. He's got 10 strapping sons. Like, he's got everything anyone in the whole wide world would want, right? He gets invited to this party. Nobody else got invited to the party. Comes home from the very first party, and he sees Mordechai, right? And he's like cocking inside, because every single person bows down to him except Mordechai. He gets home, and this is what he tells his wife. He says to his wife, I have everything in the world. I'm the biggest macher in this whole empire, right? Even Queen Esther has invited me to the party, but I can't take it when I see Mordechai. Because it's all nothing to me. Nothing. It's worthless when I see Mordechai. That's what jealousy can do. You can have everything, but you'll have nothing because you're so obsessed, right, with this other thing. So Torah is telling you, no, if you will be sameach with your portion, you have to look at it like this, like it's me and God, right? I don't have to look this way, I don't have to look that way, it's just me and God. And my job is do the next right thing. If you can just keep that focus, do you see how it can make you happy, right? Thank God in most of our lives, the frustrations are just daily frustrations. Like, hopefully we're not suffering from really, really big things. And if we're suffering even from really, really big things, try to break it down. Break it down to the moment. I'm just being honest. And if you're going to look at it as one moment, then look at the moment for its richness. Do you know what I mean? Look in the moment and see if you can find richness in the moment. Do you get what I'm saying? Are people really getting me? Like, tell the truth, yeah? Tell the truth. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like a richness in the moment. Instead of letting all these things carry us away, everything like, so overwhelming. No. You just take it one moment at a time. Can you see the beauty in this? The gift of getting up in the morning. Do you know what I'm saying? The gift of knowing I wash my hands in a special way. When I go to the bathroom, I say a special bracha. When I make, you know, whatever, when I eat, I have a special thing I do. When I look at people out there, I want to give them a smile. Even when I'm not smiling, I'm looking at the gift of the moment. There's a lot of richness in every moment. And I can really feel like I am important because I am. So Torah tells you like this. It's a good word. I think his name was Rabbi Dessler from Israel. It's a good way he put it. He said, like, let's say you look at the story like this. You wake up in the morning. Okay, you got to get to work. So you want your coffee. Like you said, you love your coffee. So you go to get your coffee, and it spills on you. Okay, you're like, oh my gosh. Okay, now you gotta go run back into, you know, get changed. Okay, you get changed, get into the car, and then you're like ready, you know, you have your cell phone, and you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't charge my phone. Then you're driving on the way, right? And then somebody bumps you and scratches the car. Okay, like now what? Okay, now finally you get to the office, and you're like ready to pull your hair out, and somebody starts talking to you, and you're like, get away from me! Okay. I just had such a bad day. Leave me alone. Right? And you're like, can't take it. Now, if the night before, you got this letter right next to your bedside, you open up the letter, and it says, hi! sending it your way because I know how special you are, and I really want you to learn how to be patient and how to be loving and how to appreciate things anyway, even when they don't go exactly the way you want. And I know you can do it. Lots of love, God. And how would you react to that same day? Oh, that's not a problem. God sent me a letter. I know what to do. I know it's for you. He loves me. It's okay. It's all right. It's all good. God loves me. Right? So we have to appreciate that every day God is sending you. Okay? When all these things go nutsy cuckoo on you, these are all God's letters saying, I really love you. And I feel bad that I got to do it this way, but this is the only way you really can grow those muscles. It's the only way you can be that special, special you. The only way that you're going to show the world an incredible legacy of love and patience and goodness. Do you see what I'm saying? And I really believe in you. And I know you can do it. Like, wouldn't it just change, like, the whole reality? Like, it's a whole different way of looking at it. So they say, Misha nichnas Adar mar bi besimcha. Those people, when you come to Adar, so you can see, that's the even keel. The even keel is, I get it, God. I get it. Everything has importance and everything has meaning and I have meaning and I'm so happy with my people. Now Adar comes and you say, well, God, let's celebrate in this month. Because this month was one of the most incredible months of the Jewish people. This was one of the biggest, when Mashiach comes, all the holidays are gone, but this one. This is considered like a messianic holiday, right? Why? Because everything turned around. Everything that looked so dark turned out to be so good. Like my husband was saying, we have to thank Haman, like Yimach Shemot, we have to thank him for so many things. If it wasn't for him, Vashti would not have gotten killed and Esther would not have become the queen. If he wouldn't have built the gallows to hang Mordecai on, he wouldn't have been killed instantly. Okay, like, they didn't have 2 seconds. Achashverosh said, okay, kill him and hang him right on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. Like, in 2 seconds, he was wiped out. If he wouldn't have done what he did, then the Jewish people would never have done tshuva. The Jewish people did such a remarkable tshuva at that time, it was beyond. They completely accepted the Torah again. That's all. They said to God, you know what, in the end, you were going to wipe us out. They said, even if you don't look like you love us anymore, we're going to tell you something. We still love you. And we are willing to take your Torah all over again. Even if we made mistakes. Even if we're so stupid that we ate at a treif party and watched all these naked ladies dancing around. Okay, we made a big boo-boo and we should not have gone. But we are not giving up on you. It's like an unbelievable story, right? So Misha Nichnas Adar. Adar is like the word dira. What's a dira? Yes. Could you do that? Dira is an apartment. Like, you know, you go buy a dira in Eretz Yisrael. So what's Misha Nichnas Adar? Hashem says, I want to be with you in your apartment on Adar. I want to be with you. So when somebody goes like this, let me in, what's your job? Open the door and let him in. That's what you're supposed to do on Purim. This whole month. This whole month is your dedication to saying, you know what, I'm happy? Because I got a part with you. And I'm going to open the door so we can really, really share each other's company. And I can really feel the part of you with me. So I can recognize when somebody gives me that cup of coffee, I'm going to turn around and say, thank you, God. This was no accident. This was no coincidence. This was no nothing. This was 100% a kiss and a hug from you. And I really, really appreciate it. And my door is wide open because I really want nuts of those. Okay? I really do. Okay? That's what this time is about. And in Purim, they say you have an incredible power of prayer. It's a very interesting vort. I can just tell you a beautiful vort that I heard. So this is what they said. They said it's interesting. When Haman decides that he wants to kill Mordechai, his wife, Zeresh, is like a tough cookie, she says to him, go and tell the king you want to kill Mordechai. Huh? People just don't go into a king and tell him what to do. She said it a couple times. Go and tell him. Just tell him. Like, you don't usually do that, right? You have to go up to the king and maybe, and let me explain. No, she said just go and tell him. Go and tell him. So meanwhile, Haman's going around. She's saying go and tell him. And in that same like paragraph, right in that area, Mordechai, it says, he cried out to Hashem. He cries out to Hashem, like really from his heart, from his heart, from his heart. And in the end of the story, everything turns around upside down. Like, it's really not normal when you think about it. In fact, you know what? I did think about it. I actually thought about it. Imagine at the end of this terrible Holocaust, like, just for 1 second, guys, take a deep breath and think about this, because this is exactly the story. Haman wanted to see the entire Jewish people wiped out. Everything turns around, and Haman's millions and billions, an entire land and house and everything, goes to who? Yeah, to Mordechai and Esther. They end up inheriting this entire fortune. So imagine during the Holocaust, what was Hitler's dream? The complete destruction of the Jewish people. And what ends with the Holocaust in 1948? The establishment of the state of Israel after how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? Like, if he, God forbid, was reincarnated today. Can you imagine? The 6 million people he destroyed, there are 6 million people in Israel today. Stop for a second.
Unfortunately, I think he is reincarnated.
Unfortunately, yes. But you know what? Too bad. Because
yeah.
We're still here. Do you see what I'm trying to say? You can reincarnate him 1,000 times. You're never going to win. It's like unbelievable. So the Torah tells you that we got the house of Haman. What does that mean? We got the right to go to the king and tell him. We got the right to go to Hashem, who's the king of all kings, and tell him. Tell him, God, I want this. Tell him, God, I want that. Just like Haman had that right to go into the king and with his chutzpah. Like, we have the same right to be just as chutzpahic. We can go to the king of all kings and say, you know what, God? We don't think you got it right. I really need this instead. You think I need this? Let me tell you what I need. You have that chutzpahic right. And the Torah tells you, if you say it with all of your heart and you really, really mean it, and Hashem listens. It's such a, I don't know, I'm like, I'm so happy! I didn't even drink anything. Okay, anyway. So do you see it? I think it's so beautiful. So it would take mindfulness, and in those moments that we're unhappy, there's going to be a couple moments that we're going to have to let it go a little bit, but then you have to be smart enough. Like, be smart enough. Keep saying to yourself, Ezehu Asher, who is the person with a rich life, rich in quality? The quantity stuff is such garbage. I think we all know it. Is it more comfortable? Yeah. I always have a friend used to say, it's a lot easier to cry in a Lexus than in a broken Honda. You know what I mean? She's always told me that. So she's right. It is easier. It's not any more effective. You're not necessarily going to get anything better. Maybe it's a little more comfortable. Do you know what I'm saying? But that's not the ish. That's not the end all be all. We want this rich life that we can look in the good and the bad and the ugly and see the beauty. Do you know what I mean? And keep moving forward. So Hashem should bless us that we should be the simcha, and it should be one of our mitzvahs that we work towards, and not to let the blues and the kvetches, you know, take us down, because we really have something, a great gift, right? That can really give us a legacy forever and ever and ever. Right? So we keep changing. So it's so beautiful. So everybody, a big, wonderful fragrance for it. You know?
Thank you.
And good things and double.